Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
They're back. It's the Boss
and the Gloss.
We're back
on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Live from the SportsMap Radio studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And one of the more notable things about the NFL and certainly the media coverage of it now is the microwave analysis that happens.
That we're doing today.
Yeah, after week one, we know everything, right?
Week one's not even complete. Finishes tonight.
But actually, before we get into the conclusion of week one, it is funny to think about 1 year ago after week one at this moment. Okay, this is why, look, my Cowboys had an extraordinary win last night, but this is why I'm not over the top and considering all great things. Remember, a year ago last year, the Cowboys lost their opener to the Buccaneers. Not only did they have a loss, and they were 0-1, but Dak injured his thumb and was going to be out for 5 games. And so to be 0-1 and not have your starting quarterback for 5 games meant assured destruction. It was over for the Cowboys.
And Cooper Rush reeled off 4 wins in a row.
After week one, it was over. And then Cooper Rush came in and he went 4-1.
This is why sports is so great.
You just never know what's going to happen.
You don't know.
And let me come back to also after week one last year. Oh, my gosh. The 49ers lost their starting quarterback to injury. Well, that starting quarterback was Trey Lance. And he went nowhere.
Yeah,
and they had Jimmy G.
Out for the season.
Yeah, and they had Jimmy G waiting on the bench. And he was, frankly, better than Trey Lance until he got injured. And then the great Brock Purdy came along and fixed everything.
And remember, even adding more drama to the story you're remembering so well, is that they didn't want Jimmy G. He was, go ahead and be a free agent. We don't want you. And then they groveled back at the, okay, you know, because of Jimmy G's injuries, no one had picked him up or what he wanted. And so he agreed to come back and play for Shanahan. How lucky Shanahan was. And you're right. He held it together until he couldn't do it. And then they lost Brock Purdy in the NFC Championship game against Philly. Remember?
Well, I know. And that's what's so sad. They actually had a very deep quarterback room to start the season. And then they were bereft at the end of the year. But the point is we can't overreact to week one.
No.
So much will change. It is a long NFL season. That said, after week one, the best team in the NFL appears to be...
Oh, gosh. It's got to be San Francisco.
49ers, yes.
Although, you're a Cowboys. Fabulous. I thought they looked fabulous, too.
Yeah, but I just think that win over the Steelers was a better win, a more holistic win. Actually, remember, coming into week one this year, there was a lot of noise and hype about how good the Steelers were and that Kenny Pickett was really going to develop here in year two, and that Tomlin had him poised to go, and the Niners just dominated the Steelers.
In Pittsburgh, on top of that. I mean, it was crazy. The Pittsburgh defense allowed over 400 yards of offense to San Francisco.
And you just don't see that out of the historical Pittsburgh Steeler defense under Mike Tomlin. They do not allow those kind of games to happen to them.
I mean, T.J. Watt had a fantastic day yesterday. He was the only one. But that was it. That was the only bright spot, really, on either side of the ball. I mean, Najee Harris couldn't get any traction. I mean, that San Francisco defense is so stout. And then, you know, you've got an offense where here's Brock Purdy coming back from elbow surgery. We haven't really seen him in the preseason at all. But when you have Brandon Ayuk, when you have Christian McCaffrey, when you have these type of player, Debo Samuel, I mean, the incredible players like this, you don't have to be fancy. Brock Purdy had a great game because he could rely. Look what Christian McCaffrey did yesterday. I mean, when he broke off for that 65-yard touchdown run, I mean, rolling off of double tackles, and I mean, just was absolutely insane. So there's so many weapons that Brock Purdy doesn't have to be a star. He just needs to be good.
Well, and coming into the season, there were all kinds of questions about when Brock Purdy would be healthy enough to play. I think he answered those questions yesterday. His QBR was a 111.3 against what we all thought was a pretty stout Pittsburgh defense. So Purdy came to play. He's obviously healthy, and he's positioned himself well with the 49ers. And then to your point about the weapons, I'll tell you what, I think that offense has been different ever since the arrival of Christian McCaffrey. I can't say enough about what he brings to that team. Do you remember, it used to be when he was back with the Panthers, when he was healthy, the quarterback play was always good. It was almost like McCaffrey was the quarterback maker. If you had him in your backfield and the ability to use the play action or throw short screen passes to him.
You can be a slot receiver. You can be a wide receiver. You can be a running back. You can be in the wildcat. He does everything.
He makes quarterbacks look good, and he's made Brock Purdy look good, and he looked good. McCaffrey looked exceptional yesterday. And you're right. The number of weapons they've got with Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, George Kittle. I mean, it's just an amazing assortment of riches.
Kittle didn't play yesterday. He's out.
Oh, he's out right now. Yeah. But I mean, Trent Williams at left tackle. Yeah. Those guys, that 49ers offense is loaded with weapons. And Brock Purdy can play sort of that point guard role. He can just take the ball and get it out of his hands quickly to one of the weapons and let the weapons do their thing.
And, you know, we talked about this at the break, David, where there were really no expectations on Brock Purdy last year. He was Mr. Irrelevant. He was sitting at 3 on the depth chart in San Francisco, seemingly never going to see the field. Comes in, blows everyone away, because when you have no expectations, anything he does is great. And he was better than great. And, you know, I do credit Kyle Shanahan. He really knows how to develop quarterbacks, and he really knows how to run an offense very, very well. He does. Now, if he would just stick to what he knows in the big games and not try and get cute, he'd have a Super Bowl under his name for sure by this point, at least one. But I think he's very talented. And, you know, on the other side of the ball, you look at Pittsburgh. They have a new OC in Matt Canada. I didn't have a lot of confidence in what I saw yesterday. Now, again, it's one game, but it was a really boring offense. I didn't understand what was happening there yesterday. Whew.
Well, knowing the Steelers, they're going to be a run first defense team. At least that's the personality of Mike Tomlin, and that may be the cards they play. We may not see a lot of light them all up from the Pittsburgh offense, particularly when Kenny Pickett is still developing as a quarterback. You know, going back to Brock Purdy, we've talked about in the past how some quarterbacks will look good in their first handful of starts because the league hasn't sort of figured them out yet.
There's no book on them yet.
Yeah, I mean, remember the great Mike White for the Jets. I mean, for a few games, it was unbelievable.
Oh, gosh, that's how bad that got last year.
Yeah. And then they go downhill from there because the league has figured out what kind of throws the quarterback likes to make.
These defenses are smart and fast, and all they need to see is a game or two. They've got it.
And they see that maybe the quarterback doesn't like to throw over the middle or doesn't like to make the throw that goes over the linebackers but in front of the safety.
He rolls left more than he rolls right.
So they figure out, they scheme up to force the guy into his area of weakness. And one of the things that I've been wondering about coming into the season is, did defenses see enough of Brock Purdy last year to understand what he likes to do or what he doesn't like to do and scheme that way this year? Now, that clearly did not happen with Pittsburgh. I don't know. That may well be a concern for the 49ers that defenses are going to finally figure out Brock Purdy and we may see him hit some bumps along the road.
Yeah, there may be. The nice thing with San Francisco, very similar to Dallas, is they play complementary football at all three phases of the game.
Yep.
So you've got a defense, even if Purdy is having a rougher game and you don't have Brandon Ayuk breaking out for this incredible game that he had yesterday, you've got a defense that can stop anybody. And, you know, Nick Bosa really has not played much at all because he had the contract dispute that he was sitting out, and that got resolved 3 days before, you know, the season starting. So he hasn't played much. He had a quiet day yesterday, and still you see what the San Francisco
defense did to Pittsburgh.
Still,
they had no trouble shutting down the Steelers at all.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, another team perhaps at the top of the NFL power rankings would be the Eagles. Now, they did not look as impressive in their win over the Patriots yesterday. They did not look as impressive as the 49ers did, but still that Eagles team is stout and talented seemingly across the board, both offense and defense.
Yeah, defense carried the day for them.
Looks really good, but yesterday they had to rely on their defense, and yesterday they really benefited from the two early turnovers that the Patriots handed them. Patriots handed them a 16-point lead, and that's hard to recover from when you're playing a good Eagles defense.
Well, it was such a weird game yesterday because the Eagles had only one offensive touchdown. You know, it was 25-20 Eagles. Patriots outgained Philadelphia 382 to 251 yards in a loss. It was the turnovers, just like you mentioned, that killed it for the Patriots. Yep. And weather was a factor. I mean, weather wasn't great. But, you know, also for Eagles fans, I would say remember, I mean, everyone's expecting the Super Bowl Eagles to be back. Personnel-wise, as players, yes. Their OC is gone and their DC is gone. They are coaching in Arizona and Indy, respectively. And that's a big adjustment. I mean, Nick Sirianni is still there. But there are some growing pains, just like we talked to with Howard Balzer earlier about such a new, young staff in Arizona. You know, Jalen Hurts has got to get right with the OC and the defense and offense. You know, they just need to work together more. So they looked very out of sync to me. It was a weird game, but the Eagles defense, they stepped up when they needed to.
Yes, early returns here. But Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle for the Eagles, he was taken, of course, ninth
former
overall.
Georgia Bulldog.
That's right. He was on that stout defense of the Georgia Bulldogs, taken ninth overall last April in the draft by Howie Roseman. And the early returns look really, really good. I mean, this guy, he had 32 pass rushes, and he had a sack and six pressures. He is a beast, and he'll be hard to keep out of the backfields of opposing offenses.
Yeah, that's a great pickup for Philadelphia. So that was neat to see him really ball out yesterday. That was great.
If I were a Patriots fan, I might take some heart here because the offense looked, set aside those two turnovers, the offense looked like they knew what they were doing. It looked like they had a plan. Now, you know, I'm the last person in the world who will going to give
this was coming.
Any props to Bill O'Brien because Bill O'Brien was here with the Texans and he was a lousy head coach. But that offense looked a little better. Mac Jones looked a little bit more in sync this year than the offense under Matt Patricia.
I agree with you, and I would say it's not Matt Patricia as the OC. I'm not giving that much credit to B.O.B. just yet. It's not Matt Patricia, and that's a positive.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have Jeremy Branham join us. He's the voice of the Houston Cougars football, and we'll ask him about the Cougars' epic loss to Rice. Jeremy Branham up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are now joined in studio by Jeremy Branham. He is the play-by-play voice for the University of Houston Cougars football program. And Jeremy, welcome into the studio. Great to have you here. Would love to kick it off with a conversation around the Cougars' loss to Rice, a big upset. The Bayou Bucket game here in Houston. What's your take on the state of the Cougars now?
Do we have to?
No. Did you have to start out with that? But we're going to get better. It's going to get better.
It was the elephant in the room.
Go.
Yes.
Rice is good. You know, Rice is they went to a bowl game last year for the first time since 2014. Mike Bloomgren did a really good job
there.
He is. JT Daniels, I understand that we have fun with how many schools he's been to and how long it's been since he left high school. But, I mean, with a highly touted recruit, he's a really good college football player. Houston came from behind. They actually took a lead in overtime after they were down 28 to nothing. But you spot any team in the country 28 points, it's very difficult to win a football game. And, you know, Dana Holgerson talked about it after the game, said, you know, maybe we didn't take them as seriously as we should. Some of the players saying the same thing. You know, was it a rivalry game, a trophy game? You know, Rice was ready to play. And when you fall behind 28 to nothing, it's very difficult to come back no matter who you're playing. And Rice is a much improved team. You know, they have Christian McCaffrey's brother on that team. He's a really good wide receiver. Had a heck of a catch in that game, who I think is a pro. I think he'll be a pro wideout in the NFL. And then JT Daniels, again, just, you know, really good college football quarterback.
I mean, it's so crazy for JT Daniels, who has started out on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the Gatorade Player of the Year out of Modern Day, to do his little tour throughout college football. Just really a lot of bad luck, too, with injuries. Lost his job to Keaton Slovis at USC and everywhere. I mean, just poor guy. So I'm happy to see him. I mean, not at the expense of your Cougars, Jeremy, at all. But I'm happy to see him have some success. Something you said to me, Jeremy, is something that I worried a little bit about in reading about U of H's situation this weekend, which is, does Dana, Coach Holgerson, does he have his locker room? Because I saw him say, I told my guys, don't sleep on this. Like, be ready. Be ready. But they didn't listen, and he kept saying they didn't listen. I told them Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Shoot. Does he have that locker room?
I believe he does. Okay. Now, I'm probably not the most subjective person to ask. I do have a Cougar bias,
it's okay.
as you might know, but I think he does. I think you look at the roster of the Cougars now versus whenever he took over. He has them going in the right direction. Team that's way more talented than the one that he inherited. You look at some of the depth that they have. The depth is a lot better. And then he's got some really good leaders on this team, too. You know, he said that he warned them things like that, but how college kids are. Sometimes it's very difficult to look over, look past a Rice team whenever you have TCU on deck. You know, Houston's been waiting for a moment in the Big 12 forever, and you have TCU coming into town this weekend, who, runner-up last year in the country, defending runner-up in college football. And I think there was some human nature there where TCU at home, we're excited for that. And you go through the tunnel there at Rice Stadium, and there's not a whole lot of people there. There's not a lot of energy there. It's difficult to get up for those games, especially the college kids. So I believe he has the locker room, though. I'm really excited to see how they respond. You know, you're going to have upsets in college football. You're going to have games where you don't show up. What does the response look like? You know, if they come out on Saturday against, TCU at TDECU Stadium, which is a tongue twister.
You've practiced that.
You'll master that.
That was the first time I said it, because now that I know it's a tongue twister, I won't be saying it anymore.
Yes.
But you come back and you win that game, we have a much different, song and dance about the Cougars a week from now than we do today.
Well, that's very true. And I'm glad to hear you say that, because I know U of H went after Holgorsen. He had a very long, successful run at West Virginia. He's 28-21. And, people are saying, well, yeah, they only beat UTSA by 3. UTSA, Jeff Traylor has coached a very good team. They were almost undefeated 2 years ago, and he's a great guy. So, good. I hope for U of H that this is going to be a turnaround. Going to TCU, though, the opponent that you're going to see, what did you think? What did we see Colorado dominate in week one, or did we see a TCU team that is vastly different from the one that made it to the football championship?
I think both, right? I think both of those teams are really, really good. The spread was something in that game that was interesting to me, because Colorado brought in tons of talent, and I think people were overlooking that a little bit. Well, they're all new. They're not going to know how to play with each other. First-year head coach. You look at their roster, and they have five-star. They had a transfer from Houston that went there that was breaking freshman records as a running back, Alton McCaskill, who's not even playing. I think he's still a little bit hurt. So that's a team that was loaded with talent. We've seen Shedeur Sanders, unbelievable two-way player.
Gosh.
I mean, they have a lot of talent. I thought that was a point spread that was, quite frankly, ridiculous. I still think TCU is really, really good. Look, I mean, how close was that game against Colorado? That was a thriller. It was a really good game. A lot of newcomers for TCU as well. They're replacing a lot of guys who are in the NFL. Quentin Johnston in the NFL. They lost Duggan, their quarterback, going back with Morris at the QB position. So I think TCU is going to be really good. I think they're going to be a contender in the Big 12 again. I think they just ran into a buzzsaw in Deion Sanders in Colorado, who I think is one of the top 15 teams in the country, quite frankly.
And is Deion Sanders in Colorado, is this program, it seems to me, other than the Alabama-Texas game, which I think we should get to next, the biggest story not only in college football, but really in all of sports right now? It is, wow.
I think that's fair to say, because you bring in Deion Sanders, and Colorado was a team that hasn't had much success in a while.
1-11 last year.
They're former power, right? But it's been a long time since they were a former power. I think some of my favorite pictures that I've seen of college football is the stands in Boulder last year versus the crowd that they had this past week.
Yeah.
It's night and day. So it's been a success for Colorado. I was watching some of the Colorado game too, and how on those networks they'll have a paid advertising commercial for the university. And the 30-second commercial for Colorado, you had the students, you had the chancellor. Colorado's primetime. And then you have Deion saying, I'm primetime. So he's taken over that university. He's the face now of the university.
He's
bigger than just the football program. He's the face of the university. They're selling Deion Sanders to everybody that's a prospective Colorado student. So that's fascinating to me. The talent that he's brought into, which is kind of the new day and age in college football, like if you're Colorado and you're out there looking for a head coach and you have Deion Sanders, who's going to bring all this attention, all this notoriety, he's going to recruit well, but he's also going to bring his son, who's one of the top five quarterbacks in the country. Mel Kiper today updated his college quarterback prospects and has him as his third best quarterback prospect. I'm blanking on the name. Travis Hunter. So you have Travis Hunter, who was a five-star, was the number two player in the country whenever he committed to Deion at Jackson State. So Deion's not only selling all of the buzz of primetime, all the buzz of Deion Sanders, all the attention, all the notoriety, all the prospects and recruits you're going to get, but he's also selling to you a first-round quarterback and then a first-round two-way player that he's going to bring with him. Had he not hired Deion Sanders?
It's so true. It's so exciting because you rarely see this. You rarely see it work like this. Yeah. 1-11 to this. I mean, USC did a similar thing with Lincoln Riley last year, also heavily using the transfer portal for that. Okay, so we briefly mentioned Alabama, Texas, which should not be brief because it was so huge. So what's the truer statement? Let's hear from the man, the myth, the legend. Texas is back, or Bryce Young and that kind of talent covered up a multitude of sins that's been going in that direction for Alabama?
You phrased that question really well, because now I want to hedge, but I'll say it. Texas is back. Texas is back.
We back, okay. Baby.
They're back. What did Sam Ellinger say? We're back. Yeah. They're back. They're back. That's the first time that that's the first time Nick Saban's lost at home by double digits. The most that Nick Saban's ever lost by in Tuscaloosa. Mm. It's the first time.
52-2 in that stadium, right?
Incredible.
Now?
And then the other loss was to LSU in 2019. And remember who was on that LSU team? It was quarterbacked by Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
He had two receivers in Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. He had Patrick Queen on the defensive side of the ball. Texas is the first team to beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa since that LSU team. I don't know how you look at Texas as a team that's not a favorite to be in the college football playoff. I do believe that they're back, and they have too much talent. You know, unless Quinn Ewers has just like a dog of a game where he throws 2-3 interceptions, if Quinn Ewers, I hate using the word game manager, especially for Quinn Ewers because he's better than that, but if they avoid just a Quinn Ewers meltdown in a game, I think they're favored in every game they have the rest of the way.
Wow.
We back.
We back. I love hearing that. Okay, we're talking about Colorado. So a former coach of Colorado, Mel Tucker, he's in the news, but not for things we want. Give me your take, Jeremy.
What are you suggesting?
I am. You know. Wow. How do you see this playing out? I mean, we're talking about Michigan State. He has been accused of some sexual harassment with Brenda Tracy, who is working with Michigan State to bring her program. She was the one that had that horrible rape situation at Oregon State 25 years ago. And basically what they're working towards together, he did to her, you know, in a way. And it leaked. USA Today leaked the story. Michigan State said, oh, suspension. How's the university handling this? And how do you see this playing out? Hearing coming up in October.
This is a terrible story on a lot of fronts. If the allegations are true, it's a horrific, horrific story. The timing to me is kind of curious because this conversation between Mel Tucker and Brenda Tracy, to my knowledge, happened last year.
Yeah,
it happened last year. Michigan State's been sitting on this news. So if that's the case, why did it come out now? Why did it take this long? Can't help but look at Michigan State's record.
I know. I agree with you. Darn.
This is the worst moment of the show. We're going to have to say goodbye to Jeremy Branham.
We've
got
to
go to break. Jeremy, really appreciate your coming. You all can hear Jeremy Branham each weekday on KFNC Houston, 97.5 FM. Jeremy, thanks for coming in.
You got it. Anytime.
Thanks, Jeremy.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios,
here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, Sports Map Radio. And it was amazing to have Jeremy Branham in set.
Oh my gosh, it went too fast.
I want to think about it.
So,
Jeremy, of course, voice of the Houston Cougars football program. They had that difficult, difficult loss to Rice University in the Bayou Bucket, a Houston matchup here. I mean, Rice has never been a football powerhouse. U of H has had certainly windows with him pretty strong. That was a big upset. Jeremy handled it well. Obviously, he's a vested interest in Cougars football.
He was great.
And always great to have his insights. I want to go back to what you asked him about Colorado football and how amazing
sweeping the nation.
How amazing this story is of Deion coming in and the turnaround from a 1-11 season last year. So they're off to a 2-0 start. And then he offered up that portrait of, look at where the stands were. The stands were empty last year, and now they're totally full. The change in that environment in Colorado has been so dramatic, so radical. It's been amazing to watch how sustainable is this? I mean, they've got some tough games coming up on the schedule. If they end up 3-4 after 7 games, does the mojo go away? Does the excitement dampen? I mean, how far can this thing go?
I think with Deion at the helm, it can sustain. I really do. And Shadur at the quarterback level, he is so mature. And he's brazen in such a good way. I don't know if you saw the game on Saturday against Nebraska, but Shadur was in the middle of the field doing his warm-up, and Matt Rhule and some of his players were right there. They didn't care. And he was like, basically, get off our field, our part of the field. Like, this isn't your time to warm up. And they were not moving. And I saw a picture. Shadur showed him a watch that played, like, watch out. You know, this is... And he said after the game, that was disrespect. And he said, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to go out there and let them know, you don't disrespect me like that. You've disrespected my father's name. Like, this is not okay. I mean, he said it, he channeled it in a really great way. And it was disrespectful. And I think Nebraska came in pretty cocky about it. And then they got shown the door. But I just think they've got so much momentum right now. And Jay Feely, who works for the NFL now, you know, on Sundays, his son is the kicker for Colorado. I mean, it is star-studded.
Yeah.
It is so much fun. And Deion even said after the game, at Nebraska game on Saturday, the students stormed the field because it was their first home game in the new prime era. He said, I've never experienced anything like this. Mm. He was just almost verklempt about it. It was so cool. I just think, I don't know. I think something really special is happening here. And I looked at ticket prices because I have a daughter that lives in Denver, and I thought, I might go up for a game. It's over $400.
That's amazing.
To get a ticket.
They couldn't give a ticket away a year ago.
But let's be real. Who doesn't want to play for Deion? I'd put my hat in a transfer portal too. I mean, I can't think of another.
Listen, they might take you. I mean, you've got a shot. They wouldn't take me, but they might take you.
Listen, the way I ate this summer, they might take me. They'd put me in the front seven. It wouldn't be pretty.
Put this woman on the defensive front.
Oh, gosh.
Now, I kind of want to go back. You know, the other thing Jeremy said about Colorado and Deion was how they've made him not just the face of the football franchise, but basically the face of the whole university. It's one of those things where people are now paying attention to Colorado University that weren't even thinking about Colorado a year or two ago. And it reminded me.
So true.
It was a lesser degree, but when RG3 was ascending during Baylor's great football run, and this was back when Art Briles was considered a good guy, and remember, Baylor got on the map, and it got a lot of attention, and folks around the university were telling me that it increased financial pledges to the school, it increased college number of applicants to the program, and this was just, I mean, when you think about it just logically, but things aren't logical, but if you think about it logically, the fact that the school has a good football program really only means a little bit to a few players because they're playing. The fans are going to enjoy the ride, but it didn't really affect their four-year outcome, their life trajectory. You were going to schools for education, yet people wanted to go to Baylor because it had something special when RG3 was there. How much more so do you feel that now with Colorado? And thus, why is Deion the face of the franchise? I think he's going to radically change the way people think about Colorado University. I think applications will come in. There'll be a big burst of enthusiasm for that university.
Football drives universities. Would you really know about Ohio State? Let's think about it.
Fair point.
You know, and I've been on that campus before, so, and it's nothing to speak of. It's sprawling. It's very cement. But there is an albatross, this massive stadium in the middle of it, because that is Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's more to it. They have a lot of competitive programs, but they're the richest athletic department in the country, and that comes from football dollars. So it's huge.
Okay,
let me
ask you a different question. What is it about Deion? Why is he so special? I mean, you just referred to the prime era. I mean, what an amazing statement. We're two games into this season, and the prime era is here. What is it? What's the secret sauce? What makes him so unique?
Well, I might ask you that as a Cowboy fan, but that what I can see makes him unique. He is no holds bar. He says exactly what he means. How many players did he call in and say, you need to pack your bags and enter the transfer portal?
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
Didn't matter who it was. I mean, he knows what he wants. What did he say? Pat, you know, get your suitcases ready kind of thing. For example, last year with Jackson State, he had that issue. I don't know exactly what the medical issue is, but something with blood flow. And he was at risk of having two toes amputated unless he could take a little extra time. They could figure it out, but he'd have to be out of coaching for more time, maybe a month longer. He was like, take the toes. seriously. So he really took the toes instead of taking the extra time not to coach at Jackson State. The guy is all in. He is magnetic. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, as a Cowboys fan.
Well, that's what I would have said. Magnetic, mm-hmm. or he's got charisma.
Charisma.
He's got that smile on his face. And it was funny for me to see him recently in that video where he was dancing with an older lady who was sort of a Colorado alumna, and they were celebrating her, and he went out and danced with her. Because I'm remembering how when Deion would get a pick six, or remember, he played some receiver, he'd catch a touchdown, his dance in the end zone.
Yeah, his son did it this weekend against Nebraska.
Is that right? I missed that. I would have paid money to see that.
Oh, it was awesome.
Because there was no music playing. Deion could just dance without the music. You know me, I can't dance with music. But he can do it without music.
Oh, no, I beg to differ. I've seen you.
All right.
Bloodstained shirt and all, you get into it.
Maybe I'm just being modest. I'm really a good dancer,
you
sure.
You are, that's right. John Travolta's got nothing on you.
He has that it factor, like
yes,
few people
thank
I've ever
you.
Heard, seen, met, etc. He's special.
And he's all in. I mean, he is a competitor, and I just think, yeah, he's got it all. He really does. He's just one of those type of guys.
Okay, I really want to get to this Longhorns-Alabama game where the Hookems, the Texas Longhorns, defeated Alabama in what must be the biggest regular season win by the Longhorns since forever. I mean, it was a monster win to go into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama.
Well, it is. It's the first playoff win versus an AP top three for Texas since 2008 when they beat OU. 2008.
Yeah.
That's 15 years ago.
It's been a long drought.
It's been a long drought.
And, of course, we're living here in Houston, which is considered sort of Longhorn country. Mm-hmm. And one thing I would say is that no one embraces a swagger or carries a swagger faster than the University of Texas Longhorn fans. All around the city, you can see orange popping up everywhere in everyone's wardrobe. Those Longhorn fans, they're all declaring they're back. And I don't know. I just have this sneaking suspicion that they're all going to be disappointed again by the end of the year. Can Steve Sarkisian really rattle off an 11-1 type year? I just don't see it. But I was proven I didn't see them going into Alabama and winning last weekend.
Well, here's what I would say, because I'm in your camp about this, too. I don't have a lot of faith in Sarkisian. I'm a USC alum. I saw him at Washington State. It was a disaster of a mess at USC when he left, you know, at the Falcons. Okay, there's that. Nothing. And, you know, then he was under Saban. So I would say this. Last year, UT should have beaten Alabama.
Oh, they had him on the ropes.
They had him on the
ropes. Bryce Young, it was a Houdini act. He escaped defeat, but
totally.
Go ahead.
But yes. To the point, they should have beat Alabama last year, and they should have beat this year. Why? Because Sarkisian was the OC and recruited basically the entire team.
Right.
Knows the plays. Obviously, there's going to be some plays difference. Developed Bryce Young. So to me, last year, that was a fail on UT not to beat them. So I fully expected them, honestly, to go into Tuscaloosa this year. I thought it would be tighter than it was. But I thought, hopefully you learn from last year. Because you still know these guys. You know three classes of these guys. And you know Nick Saban's tendencies. So I really feel like it was UT's game to lose. And it's the first assistant of Saban's to ever come into Tuscaloosa and beat him.
It was
crazy.
An amazing win.
It's crazy.
A signature win for the Longhorns.
Was.
We'll see how far
credit
they can
them.
Carry it. All right, when we come back, we're going to shift back to the NFL. There were three highly touted rookie quarterbacks starting yesterday. I want to ask you, which one of those performed the best? That up next year on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios,
here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
You know, it's always interesting, Carla, what Sean picks to play in terms of music. This sounds like a Spanish guitarist.
It's Lil Nas X, right?
You're right.
It is. Oh, see, Carl always knows. You know, Sean, she's a very good dancer. You should watch her dance.
I have a whole routine to this song.
She does like a little shimmy in the chair. That's why I know I picked a good one.
You know you're doing it right then.
Yeah, Sean gets double thumbs up for the music. He's also a DJ that is outstanding.
For those of you who cannot see this show, which is 100% of you, sadly, what you're missing is a battle of the hair. Sean versus Carla. You both have outstanding
Sean
hair.
Sean always wins.
Unfortunately, Sean rivals your hair,
yeah,
Carla.
Yeah, he does. I mean, Sean, it's impressive.
I'm just glad to be in the discussion. You know, with Texas being number 4 in the AP rankings, I'm okay being number 2 in the AP rankings of the
yes.
hair on this show.
You are number 1 in the AP rankings here, in the hair rankings. And he's got dimples to boot. I mean, Sean, lady killer.
He's beautiful.
Lady killer.
Stunning.
Seriously.
Breathtaking.
Okay, enough.
Oh, enough. Okay, sorry.
HR violation now.
You know, HR violation.
Yeah, exactly.
No, please. All right, don't report it to the
boss.
I
could make a joke that has to do with Michigan State, but I'm staying away.
Michigan State? You raised that.
Okay, we have to move on.
All I can say about that, and I'll only say one thing. It was the first time in the history when we looked at our show notes that Carla included such things as phone sex in the notes.
I had quotes around it. It came from an article.
You didn't just make that up.
That's correct.
It's not just your own thinking.
I want to be clear. Don't you be
or
out of
your own daydreaming. Yeah. Or your, no, I get carried away. Sorry. All right.
Next.
Back to
Sean,
the topic.
Sean, get Lil Nas X back in here.
All right. We got to get to Jimmy G, who was off to a very good start for your beloved Raiders.
Wow.
As the Raiders get a win with Jimmy G as his first start at quarterback for the Raiders. How do you feel about Jimmy G? I mean, this was a bit of a surprise that he would be the guy suiting up. Look, a year ago, we all would have thought Derek Carr was a Raider for life. Derek Carr now playing for the Saints. Jimmy G starting for the Raiders, and he got a win under his belt.
I love Jimmy G. I have never had an issue with him, not in New England, not in San Francisco, and definitely not in...
Wait a minute. You weren't so keen when he was dating a porn star.
Oh, well, that I didn't like.
Okay.
But that's his off-field stuff.
Yeah, that's
he
off-field.
He didn't need to go there.
Well,
she
I just...
She was like 20 years older than him.
Oh, well, he...
I know.
And
I
by
can't
the way,
even have this discussion with men because they don't get it.
Well, no, I can tell you this. As far as I can tell, Jimmy G can get just about any woman he wants.
Yeah.
He's an NFL player. He's very good looking. He's all this stuff. And he settled or went after. Maybe he didn't settle. He
I
went.
I like that settle.
He got a porn star. I guess he didn't settle. He thrived. But we digress.
You digress.
Back to the football field. I felt like he looked pretty good.
I thought he looked great. I mean, he's in... Josh McDaniels wouldn't say a new offense. I mean, because he coached him 5 years ago in New England. But it is a new offense, new players, all of this. The only issue with Jimmy G, the only negative, is his durability.
Mm-hmm.
When he is healthy... I love how he plays. I mean, he may not win you games, but he's not going to lose you games when he's healthy. That's how I feel about him. I think he's real steady. I think I would put him in the really good category. I would not put him in elite category, but I would put him in really good. And I think that's great stability in Las Vegas. It's about the only thing that I like in Las Vegas. And I didn't see a lot of connection with Davante Adams. But again, this is Josh McDaniels, and I don't have faith in him as a coach. I hope he proves me wrong. I was really happy to get a 1 point, even though it wasn't the prettiest win against Denver. It's a division rival. They have a huge...
A win's a win.
Win's a win.
But I mean, Denver's not the strongest opponent, but man, you just take it. And they are in the tough division, and to get that win was great. And the Raiders have had some drama. I mean, Chandler Jones.
Oh, gosh.
I don't even know how to describe what's happening there. Do you have any insights on Chandler Jones?
You know, he obviously didn't play. You know, he was very frustrated that over Labor Day, he could not go to the team facility to work out. He was locked out. And that seems really odd.
Carla, we lock you out of this building all the time.
You try.
But you keep coming back.
That's right. I know codes. Yeah. And I've got receipts.
Yeah, you get it.
There we go. No, there's always drama in Las Vegas. I wish that I felt better with Josh McDaniels as a leader and with Mark Davis as a leader. I don't. I've been a Cradle Raider fan my whole life. I don't really trust what's going on there. I think they've got a lot of good players. I don't know. Time's going to tell. But I was really happy for the franchise, for the fans, and for Jimmy G.
Okay, there were three rookie quarterbacks starting yesterday who came in highly touted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fascinating to watch. You had Bryce Young, of course, CJ Stroud for the Texans, and you saw him firsthand here. And I thought, well, let's talk about C.J. Stroud first. And then, of course, Anthony Richardson of the Colts had a fairly impressive debut. But amongst the three, how did you break them down?
You know, I thought all three had a good day. I really do think they did. And you, I mean, as we talked about earlier,
good
today,
is a relative term. Maybe you have to have low expectations for these guys.
Totally, because they're going to teams that are not very good or teams that have brand new coaches. Like, everything is new.
The NFL is a faster game than the collegiate game, et cetera, et cetera.
But, you know, I, as I've mentioned to you even today, I have been so frustrated with the Houston Texans. I don't even watch them with all the mess that happened with Bill O'Brien and trading away DeAndre Hopkins and the mess with Deshaun Watson and giving away J.J. Watt for nothing. I mean, it's just I have no interest. So yesterday I made myself sit down and watch this because I thought, you know what? Even though we've still got the same ownership, D'Amico Ryans, I mean, he played for the Texans. He's well-loved. I loved what he did in San Francisco. And I loved C.J. Stroud, followed him from high school and college. Oh my gosh, I came in very skeptical and I left like, wow. Okay, this is a huge upward trajectory for Houston. Now they held the Ravens to 6 points in the first half. It looked good. You know, that went away in the second half. They lost pretty badly, like 25-9. But you know what? I really loved what I saw in C.J. Stroud. He's really confident. He moves well. He's got quick release. He's got some good receivers in Robert Woods and Nico Collins. He and D'Amico are clearly on the same page. And what D'Amico Ryans has done for the defense in Houston, we were 31 of 32 in stopping the run last year, the Texans.
Yep.
And they were fantastic yesterday. So, you know, it wasn't a win, but I didn't expect a win. Oh, my God.
No,
gosh.
At this point, small steps, any sign
small
of improvement,
steps.
Any sign of development for C.J. Stroud. I mean, sitting here in Houston as a fandom, the whole community just wants to see progress. I don't think the expectation is for lots of wins.
We haven't had a winning season in 3 years.
It's just painful.
3 years. And Stroud was sacked 5 times yesterday. That O-line really did him dirty yesterday. It was a mess. And they are injured and they are a mess. But
they've got a lot of at least draft capital,
yes,
or presumed talent on that offensive line, although the injuries have certainly set them back. But when you look at Tunsil and company, and Howard and company, these are high draft pick guys.
They are, but Howard's out,
yep,
and for an extended, yep, period of time. And so it's just tough. They're having to move around a lot of pieces. But I think what was said about C.J. Stroud yesterday by some of the players is that no one has ever seen a guy work so hard and prepare so hard. And whether it's film, whether it's extra workouts, and almost to the point where they're like, you're so serious. But he takes this job as he should. I mean, he's a very highly drafted guy. He has an incredible faith. He's a very grounded guy. And I think D'Amico Ryans is the guy. I just hope the Texans don't start acting Texansy up in the front office. I think there's some hope here.
All right, we've only got about a minute and a half left. But one of the matchups yesterday that I found fascinating was the matchup of two quarterbacks who are really, really highly paid.
Oh, I want to hear your
thoughts. It was a matchup of the highest paid matchup of quarterbacks we could have ever imagined. Joe Burrow, fresh off his contract, and Deshaun Watson off of his guaranteed contract last year. The money was on the field.
Over a half a billion dollars in quarterback assets.
An historic number. It's never happened. When Brady played Mahomes in a big game, the money didn't tally up like that. This was an amazing matchup when you think about just the dollars. Burrow versus Watson. And Watson and the Browns came out on top.
And do you think 24-3 is a half a billion dollar score?
Yeah, well, neither quarterback shined yesterday, albeit under tough weather conditions.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. Both of them were sort of very mediocre. In fact, Burrow had a really tough day.
Yeah, he had a tough day. In fairness to him, I mean, he was injured first day of camp.
Yep.
Did not play at all. He's never going to blame it on his calf, but I don't think he was the same. I mean, you noted he looked a lot slower than he normally does. I mean, he had his worst day as a pro yesterday, 14 of 31. 82 yards and 0 TDs before being pulled late in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's a pretty terrible day for a guy who just signed a $275 million deal.
Yeah, not what he had hoped to have when he came out. You know, it's so interesting because while he just looked a little slower, and he always had good movement around in the pocket, We actually have stats that show he was slower. Next-gen stats.
Yep.
This is the world we live in now. We have every stat on every player. I hate to say it, but we got to wrap this up. Our music is playing. I could go on for hours. We got so much more to cover. Sean, thank you for your help behind the glass. Always great to work with you. And by the way, your hair does look better than Carla's today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Monday. This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.